Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, she was raised to believe that anything unexplained was evil. So when something began to follow her at night, she was told it wasn't random. It was her own fault.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, indeed it is. And you can share your real ghost stories with us at 855-853-4802 or yes, write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We would love to hear your real ghost stories. Tony, Todd, and Carol with you on today's edition of the program. We're back into the new year. And you know, I know these episodes run all different times and places, and you may be listening to this in 2045. But I want to address this quickly because I know we've had some questions about it. Our YouTube channel, it's disappeared into the ether. It is gone. I know you're like, why? Well, because YouTube was being assholes. And basically they said that we were creating inauthentic content and penalized us. So I said, okay, bye.
And there's no way you can.
I said, like, I tried to prove like we're not a bunch of bots. And even though we've been like one of the longest ghost story channels in existence on there forever. But the bots didn't like my responses of explaining and they couldn't give any examples. So that is no more. And that's fine. Honestly, there wasn't a ton of people that were on YouTube with us, and most folks get the show through the podcast platforms. But if you're wondering, if you want to listen to the program, find one of the many podcast platforms out there and press subscribe. That's all you got to do. That's where we are and where we've always been and will continue to be. We may bring back YouTube at some point in time with video exclusively, but, you know, I don't know. That was just rather bizarre. It was like, Merry Christmas. We don't like you.
And, yeah, it happened right over the Christmas break.
Yeah.
And that happened to me once on Facebook. They decided I was not Carol Hughes.
Yeah.
I mean, I questioned that all the time, Carol.
I know. Yeah. It's not me.
Sure who you are.
And I had to prove that I was me. And luckily, that is my name.
Uh-huh.
So I can prove that I am Carol Hughes.
Yeah.
But they said I had too many friends.
Mm.
And so they thought it was suspicious or something.
Yeah.
So I had to give them all this information and they just kicked me off. There wasn't any like, you can stay on while we prove you're you, while you prove you're you.
Yeah.
There's nobody to talk to about it. And then one day it was just back on.
It's so random. It's being run by these bots and there's little to no recourse when their bots are wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's just like insane. So I just don't care. It's like, I don't have time. I don't have time to play these games.
No.
You know, when 99% of our audience comes from the podcast platform anyhow. So anyway, that's the question. If you're wondering where that went, that's where it is. What about our videos and stuff? We're going to have other opportunities and we're going to have video up in some places soon. More to be announced on that soon as I figure it out, but probably like some extra stuff for supporters of the program, EPP type stuff, where it's Patreon, possibly a Substack channel for the show. So we'll have some other cool stuff in the near future.
Cool.
So, it's still so damn frustrating.
It is. It's like, what do you do?
There's nothing you can do.
I'm just choosing not to play the game and not to rely on it as part of the game. So it's like, whatever. There's plenty of other places to get the program, and most people do anyhow. So that's that. If you'd like to share your ghost story, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online as we give you our inauthentic content.
We're not real people.
Because we're not real people. And none of you are real that send us your stories. And all of that, as YouTube says, are inauthentic content. So whatever the fuck that means, we're going to keep giving it to you here on the podcast platforms. Let's get to one of our stories. It starts out, she grew up in a house where fear was not a side effect of belief. It was the foundation of it. Faith in her family wasn't quiet or comforting. It was loud, rigid, and aggressively enforced. Everything in the world was divided into absolutes. If something was of God, it was safe. If it wasn't, it was
Satan
in disguise. There were no ghosts, no lingering spirits, no neutral forces. Anything unexplained was demonic by default. That rule applied to everything, even things meant for children. Santa Claus, they insisted, was
Satan hiding in plain sight. Ho, ho, ho.
Rearrange the letters and the truth reveals itself.
That's right.
She remembered the first time someone explained it to her, the uneasy laugh she gave, and the moment she realized no one else found it funny. By the time she was 14, fear had been woven into her understanding of the world so tightly that she couldn't separate the two. Curiosity was rebellion. Questions were weakness. Imagination was dangerous. That same year, she was sent to a church school where obedience mattered more than actual understanding. The curriculum was rigid and closely monitored. Reading anything outside the approved material was considered spiritual corruption. Teachers watched her closely, warning her often that her tendency to question and explore ideas bordered on rebellion. More than once, she was threatened with expulsion, not for misbehavior, but for thinking beyond what was allowed. The pressure was relentless. It lived in her chest and followed her into sleep. She learned to measure every thought, every reaction, terrified that even an unspoken doubt might invite something dark into her life. This was when the presence began. At first, it was nothing she could see, just a sensation that something was behind her, close enough to feel. The air would thicken suddenly, her skin prickling as if someone stood inches away. Sometimes it felt like breathing, slow and heavy, brushing the back of her neck. She never saw anything, but she never knew it was there. Her upbringing provided an explanation immediately. She had somehow caused it. Stress weakened faith. Weakness opens doors. The thing behind her wasn't random. It was her fault. A manifestation of fear and exhaustion, a poltergeist she had created by failing to be strong enough. The idea terrified her, but it also gave her something to cling to. If she caused it, maybe she could stop it. Sleep became impossible. Every night she lay rigid in bed, staring at the same corner of her room. She didn't blink for long stretches, afraid that looking away might give it permission to move. She prayed constantly, her thoughts looping in frantic repetition. She read her Bible by flashlight until her eyes burned, clutching it like a shield, listening for any sound that might mean something was advancing. Nothing ever did. But the certainty of being watched never faded. During the day, life continued as best it could, her parents working long hours, often leaving her home alone after school. Those afternoons had once been her refuge, time to read books she wasn't supposed to own, to hike in the woods behind the house, to breathe without feeling judged, until the afternoon she saw the lights. She was changing clothes for a hike when she glanced into the hallway outside her room. She wasn't allowed a door. Privacy was considered suspicious in their household. So the hallway stretched open and dark beyond her doorway. That was where the lights hovered. Small glowing spheres floated lazily through the air, drifting through the darkest corner of the hall. There were shades of yellow and orange, warm but unnatural. The largest was no bigger than a nickel, yet they were solid enough to stand out clearly. For a moment, her mind scrambled for explanations, dust, reflections, eye strain, but the explanations collapsed under scrutiny. They were too large, too distinct, and they moved with intention, weaving around one another as if aware of the space they occupied. Her conditioning took over. If it wasn't God, it was demonic. She didn't hesitate. She grabbed her cat, Mav, from the bed and climbed out of the window, dropping into the yard and running until the house disappeared behind the trees. Her lungs burned, her heart hammered so violently she thought she might pass out. The lights returned again and again after that, and she became skilled at escaping through the window quickly, timing it perfectly so she never had to pass through the hallway at all. Eventually, desperation pushed her to ask for help. She approached her mother cautiously, choosing her words with care. Her mother dismissed it outright. Paranormal activity didn't exist. She needed to pray harder. A teacher at school was less restrained. Either get saved or get her head checked. The best friend cried when she told her and begged her to read her Bible. That was the moment she stopped asking anyone for help. Not long after, the school noticed the cracks. One afternoon, she was pulled aside by an administrator, a woman with a tight smile and a voice that never quite softened. They sat across from each other in a small office that smelled faintly of old books and lemon cleaner. The woman folded her hands on the desk and asked very calmly if she had been having unusual thoughts. The question made her stomach drop. She chose her words carefully, saying only that she had been tired, stressed, that sometimes she felt watched at night. She didn't mention the lights or the presence or the fear that clung to her like static. The woman nodded slowly, then leaned forward. "Fear is a sign," she said. "It means you've left a door open." She slid a pamphlet across the desk, thin, cheaply printed, filled with verses about spiritual warfare and obedience. She told her that doubt invited darkness, that curiosity was a weakness demons exploited, that whatever she was experiencing would stop if she submitted fully and stopped entertaining forbidden ideas. As she left the office, the hallway felt narrower than before. That night, lying in bed, staring at the corner of her room, the presence felt heavier. Closer. She realized then that the fear didn't lessen. When she obeyed, it grew. She was allowed to hang a curtain across her doorway, and while it wasn't a door, it blocked her view of the hallway. She couldn't see the lights anymore. She told herself that was enough, but the house had other ways of reminding her it was still there. On nights when her father was away, she sat on the couch with her mother watching television. Mav usually lay heavy and warm on her stomach, purring softly. The couch faced the front hallway, and one night Mav growled. The sound was deep and low, completely unlike anything she'd ever heard from him. Mav was the gentlest cat imaginable, never aggressive, never defensive, his body weight rigid. He stared down the hallway, fur standing on end, ears flattened, tight against her head. He crawled into her chest, crouching protectively, growling at empty air. His eyes tracked something moving, something only he could see. Her mother asked what he was looking at, and she had no answer. They sat frozen as Mav continued to growl, his body tense with purpose. Then, just as suddenly, he relaxed. He settled back onto her stomach and began to purr. Her mouth whispered, shaken. "It's like he was protecting you." From then on, it became routine. Anytime she was in the living room, Mav reacted to the hallway. They never saw anything, but they both felt it. By 16, something shifted. She noticed the fear fed the activity. When she panicked, it felt stronger. When she stayed calm, when she watched instead of running, it weakened. The night presence faded. The poltergeist activity slowed. The lights still appeared occasionally, but she stopped fleeing. Nothing ever harmed her. Then one night she saw the soldier. He appeared briefly, silent and unmistakable, in a Confederate uniform, then vanished. That was the moment denial ended. She didn't assign meaning to it yet. She didn't need to. She simply accepted that it was real. After high school, the poltergeist stopped completely. The house didn't empty, but it softened. Years later, she looks back with clarity she didn't have then. The fear had been real, but it had been amplified by a belief system that taught her to label everything unknown as evil. The orbs were harmless, a collection of energy drawn to a house saturated with stress and emotion. The poltergeist burned itself out. Whatever lingered in the hallway weakened once she stopped feeling the terror and feeding it terror. And the thing in her room at night, she believes now that Fear itself may have been its strongest form. She isn't afraid anymore. She still has moments, those quiet, what was that instances. But now she investigates instead of fleeing. She questions instead of condemning. She refuses to let fear write the narrative. The house taught her something her upbringing never did. Understanding is stronger than terror, and courage begins the moment you stop running out the window. I want to say, I think the people in the story were scarier than the ghosts.
Absolutely. I was just thinking that would make a great movie. You know, it's one of those movies where there, you know, there's paranormal stuff going on, but nobody will believe you. Mm-hmm. And part of the problem is the people around you wouldn't believe it, even if they actually experienced it, you know?
There's an irony to all that, too, because you're talking about people that are literally putting all of their beliefs into supernatural stuff. I mean, if you're believing God, if you believe in all the stuff, Holy Spirit,
the Holy Ghost.
We're talking about supernatural shit. Well, no, it's religion. It's the same thing. It's in the same realm of stuff, but it's like, I don't know. I've always been baffled by it, because it's like, you're going to believe all this over here that you can't prove or see, but anybody that says anything that's utterly supernatural, that's all bad and evil. But they tell you over here in this one that we're the only one, and nobody, anything else is just freaking the devil. And then, you grow up believing that. I get it.
And the way this person's brought up,
yeah,
you can't even get away from it when you go to public school, because then you're going to private school. I don't know what that was like, but they believe the same thing. So, it's you bringing this on yourself.
Yeah,
you are allowing darkness in. You are doing everything wrong. It's you.
The same group of people who will be blaming the rape, blaming not the rapist, but the victim.
Well, because she asked for it. Why did she?
Exactly.
Wear that?
I mean, it reminds me a lot of that when I hear that, because it's like, yeah, it's the same sort of thinking.
Absolutely. I've gotten into heated discussions with people. Listen, I don't care if you believe in ghosts or not. If you want to say, mm-hmm, I don't believe in all that, that's cool with me.
Sure.
But I usually with people like that, I'm usually okay with them feeling that way. I got into it once with somebody who is very religious,
mm-hmm,
and I'd been asked about ghosts and stuff like that. I was kind of telling some stories of some stuff that I've gone through.
Yeah.
And he had this big smirk on his face, like I was full of shit.
Yeah.
And I actually pulled it right out. I pulled it out of my pocket and I said, so the only spirit that's allowed in the world is the spirit of Jesus. That's it. That's mm-hmm. it. You that's okay. But it couldn't be the spirit of your mother that just passed away. Is that what you're telling me? And his face, he got kind of angry about it, obviously. But it's like, you're absolutely right. Like, you believe this stuff, mm-hmm, but you're unwilling to at least keep an open mind about this other stuff. And that's what blows my mind about it.
Yeah, the rigidity of it all. You know, and is that, and I guess that's kind of where you look at it and go, okay, is it the religion itself that has the rigidity to it, or the people applying their interpretations of it that creates the rigidity? You know?
I think we can agree it's probably more that than the other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
I don't know.
At the base of most religions, and I don't want to speak for religions or religious people, mm-hmm, but I think it's supposed to be a very loving, accepting, arms around, you know, spread love and all that stuff. But it's been changed into something else. So,
yeah. I mean, that's the Instagram of it. And then you get to know it more and you're like, oh, this is nothing like the pictures. Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I'm sure there's good folks out there and all that. And there are, but, there's a lot of bullshit too.
But it just makes me sad that this child doesn't know anything that's going on.
Yeah.
And is subjected to all this, and nobody's there to help this child. Or at least, if nothing else, say, I believe you.
Right.
No, it's just everybody wants to reconfirm the rigidity of their belief systems rather than actually deal with actual emotions and life going on in front of them. It's just, we don't know how to deal with this, so let's make it about this, even though it's not about that.
Well, let's make it your fault.
and then make it your fault.
That's the worst part of it, I think.
Yeah.
Because you're a child, so now it's all your fault. Because when you're a child, anyway, you tend to make everything your fault. If your mom and dad have a fight, you're sitting there thinking, this is all my fault, because if I'd only done this, they wouldn't be fighting right now. They just have that way. It makes me sad.
It's spooky when just listening to that story my family was in no way near that rigid by any means, but I did know families who were, I think we probably all could recognize some people in our world, in our lives, who were pretty close to that sort of rigid way of thinking. And you just think, God, what a shitty way to live, you know? And when you're younger and you don't know any better, you're just, well, this is just how it is. You don't really know any different. But being older and looking at it with perspective, it's like, holy shit. Like, how are you doing? Like, why are you ruining your life with this level of rigid, close-minded thinking? Does that make you feel good at the end of the day? I don't think it does, because some of these people are the most miserable fucks on the face of the planet Earth.
But if they're going to be miserable, they want to make sure you're miserable too.
Exactly. I think that's half of it.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's I'm going to, like, we're going to pull everybody down with us. It's so sick when people are thinking like that, and then instill it on the children like that. And how do you make more people like that? Well, you just pound it into them as kids. Ha!
And it's like this person too figured out the one way, because I've especially in a lot of Grave Talks interviews, we talk about how things feed off of fear.
Yeah.
And so it's like that person figured out to stand up to it, not be afraid of it, is the one way you could control it.
Yeah.
On their own, they figured that out.
On my own.
I'd sing along.
This isn't how it was supposed to be. Okay, I saw Patti LaBelle.
I was just going to say, were you being Patti LaBelle or were you being Michael McDonald in that?
I was first being Patti. I can do both. Okay?
That's not his Michael McDonald voice, though. Because that is
this
a different voice.
I was supposed to be on my own. I wish that we could have it all again. So many promises.
Oh my God.
Never should be spoken.
Now, Do I Keep Forgetting? That's my favorite song from him.
I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore.
Oh,
I keep
so good. Forgetting
things will never be the same again.
That's really good.
It's so good.
That was some of your best Michael McDonald work ever.
I can't forget him.
First one back from Christmas, and it's already karaoke. Smile.
Yeah.
Here
you go. Hello. You know what? Actually, I have a theater room right across the hall over here, but it's more so used for karaoke. And I bought another one of these microphones just to have in there for it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause you'd hate to have to run into the other room to grab that one for it. You know what I'm saying?
Plug it back in.
Yeah. It's too many steps.
I'll just buy another one. Put it in the other room.
Put it in the other room for the karaoke nights where I decide I'm going to sing Michael McDonald for stress relief.
and Patti LaBelle for stress relief.
Yes. I do my own duets, Michael McDonald and Patti LaBelle.
It's so great. You should do a CD, duets, and it's just Tony Bruschi. There's no way.
I love it.
My endless love. Oh, God.
It'd be great. I saw Patti LaBelle on the one of the New Year's. I think it was the Anderson Cooper and Andy.
Oh, it's such CNN. A train wreck. I can't help not watch those. But
that's
God,
the only reason I watch it.
Train wreck.
That's why I watch that one, because it's a train wreck. And I really don't give a shit about most music that's playing currently. So they always go to Patti LaBelle, and I swear to God, Patti LaBelle is decreasing in age. She every year looks a little bit younger. And I think the woman's 79 now. I'm pretty sure I looked it up. She 2 years ago, 3 years ago, she looked about 80 something. Now she looks about 45.
Anybody have on their bingo card that if they looked at Tony's Google searches, Patti LaBelle's age would be in there? I don't know.
No, that's a given. That is a given.
I'm always doing that shit. I'm always like, I wonder how old they are, you know? And then you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Patti LaBelle makes a pretty mean, what is it? They sell them at the Walmart.
It's a pie, right?
Yeah. She has a pumpkin pie and a sweet potato pie.
That's it. That's right.
That is very delicious, I might say. She has some pretty good products. And she'll be 35 next year on the New Year's Eve program. All right, that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like access to all of the bonus episodes, all the extra stuff, check us out on Patreon. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online there. Apple Podcasts. You can also get premium content as well. Until next time, for Todd and Carol, I'm Tony. We will talk again real soon. And thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.